Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. We're going to begin reading, if we could, in verse 24. Romans chapter 3. Most of what I'm going to do this morning will be behind me, so you'll be able to see the verses, the references. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Let's stand together, please. I will not read every line. I'm just going to skip a little bit. We've dealt with this. For you that have been here the last 2 weeks, this is the third week I'm talking about justification. I think I will speak at least two more times on the same subject, maybe three, from chapter 4 and then chapter 5. Different issues, different aspects. This morning I'm going to deal with justification and the five solas. So friends, let's say it as clear as I can. If this does not come from your background or you don't know anything about Latin, you don't need to. Everything will be explained well in English. But it comes from 500 years ago and the struggle with the nature of salvation. So sola in Latin simply means only or alone. So it came out of a struggle where people said, how does a person go to heaven? By faith and, or is it faith alone? In Christ alone. So this little issue, is it alone or is it and, is very confusing to people because it's like, well, yeah, I actually read an article by a church down the road. Doesn't need to tell you the church is 20 years ago. And the guy said, in order to go to heaven, you need to believe, you need to get baptized. Listen, in our church, you need to take communion in our kind of church. You need to keep all of the law. So it was basically by grace plus, 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 plus. So the five solas come out of how do we come to be justified before God? That issue, okay? Verse 24. We'll just read the first line. Being justified freely. We'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 26. The very last line. That he might be just and the justifier of him or her which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27 is where we begin this morning. Where is boasting then? Or bragging? Who has bragging rights? Paul says, it is excluded. Then he says, by what law? Of works? Do you somehow do good things in order to go to heaven? No, he says, nay, Old English, no, but by the law of faith. He's playing with the language. Verse 28, therefore, we conclude, summarize, or we all hold to this, that a man or a woman is justified by faith, here's the alone part, without the deeds of the law. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? By the way, there are a lot of people, I've actually heard people say, and had people say this to me, they say Christianity is a white man's religion. Really? Have you read the New Testament recently? But secondly, friend, Jesus was Jewish. But he's asking the obvious question. Most places on earth believe everybody has their own God. You know, you all have a God here, we have a God here. He's saying is the God of the Bible just the God of the Jews? Does he just justify Jews by faith alone in Christ alone? Well, look what he says. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Gentiles is anyone other than Jewish. He says, yes, of the Gentiles also. By the way, I'm thankful for that because I'm one of them. Verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcised or circumcision, Jewish, by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid we establish the law. I will not talk about verse 31 today. I'm going to talk about justification and the five solas. Friends, I want to say again, I can quote the five solas. I will quote the five solas, but I'm not interested in Latin. I just want you to understand this has been around a couple weeks longer than you've been alive. And I want to say two other things that are very important. You can't just choose one piece. It all goes together or it all falls apart. You're going to see that. It's either we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, to God alone be the glory, or it's something totally different. That's what we're really going to discuss from the text this morning. I'm going to have our guy put some stuff on the board in just a minute behind me on the screen, and then we will get into the sermon. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can look at the Word of God and come to a grasp of what we're really discussing. And Lord, I want every Christian to grasp that this is all about you. It's not about us. And we cannot do anything to save us. It's altogether salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah says. Lord, put all these things together, and more so for those in the room that might not yet know about Christ and salvation. May they at least get a good look this morning at this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before I go anyplace, since I gave you some humor today. Did I give you humor? I already know I should not say what I'm going to say because one or two people will use it against me. I won't mention Dave Haas's name, but I already know he's going to. Years ago, I read a book by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and it said this. It was a biography, and it said this. The great preacher, his wife would come and visit him before the service occasionally. He was so fixated on preaching and what he was going to preach that he would look at her and say, "Ma'am, can I help you?" He did not know who she was. This happened repeatedly. I don't usually have that problem before, but you say, what am I giving away? Dave, do not use it. Don't listen to the evil person in your ear. You got that? I have that problem, and you don't know it after the service. At the end of a service, 50 to 75% of the people in this room, I won't know your name. Because my mind is so focused on what I'm preaching and teaching, it's just like, and everything else is a blur. And it happened to me in church in St. Louis with three ladies that I love to death. They're all in heaven now. Piney, Nellie, yes, and Viola Bond. And those women I call the three musketeers. They were all in their late 60s to late 70s. And they walked up to me and I said, "Good morning, Nellie." And I said, "Good morning, Piney." And I said, "Good morning." That's the first time it ever happened, but it happens in church all the time. I'm sorry. You now know a secret, Dave. You can use it against me because I'm very focused. Well, this morning, we're going to discuss justification. Justification, I think it's behind me. I want you to understand the concepts. First of all, justification is a legal term. Just like in a court, and it comes from the Greco-Roman world of a court, where you were on trial. So it is a legal term from the courtroom, and it basically is this. We've just seen it in America, and I'm not going to talk about politics and the craziness of America today, but we just saw it with Trump. Some judge gave an award that's kind of ridiculous for any normal person that doesn't think you're supposed to prosecute people like this. But the point being is, before that, the judge had said to Trump, "You are guilty." Well, justification is the opposite. It is a declaration that you are righteous or innocent in the biblical language. And another piece that I haven't mentioned, it's not only a declaration at the end of days, where sometime you stand before God. Strangely, in the Bible, that declaration happens in life. It happens before time, not after. Now, the five solas are these. Sola fide. By the way, you don't have to know Latin. excuse me, I got it backwards. Sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. This is how we get saved. By grace alone, what God does for us, through simple faith, receiving, God opening our eyes and us being drawn to Christ. Solus Christus, because of Christ alone. It's not Christ in the Baptist church. It's not Christ in this religion. It is what Christ did for us. Sola Scriptura, based on Scripture alone. And lastly, soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. Friends, I'm going to do that which I'm doing intentionally because of verse 27. Look at verse 27 with me, or behind me, whichever works. Romans 3:27 says this, where is boasting then? He says, it is excluded. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to approach the five solas, which are very logical, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, to God alone be the glory, and we're going to approach them backwards because of Paul's question. Where's the boasting? So I begin in your notes, soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. A thing that we all have to come to, and Paul comes to very quickly. He says, all right, all right, all right. And by the way, friend, can I say this? I don't really care of your religious background. If you come from a broadly Christian background, from Roman Catholicism to Greek Orthodox, all the way from Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, makes me no difference. All religions outside of biblical Christianity teach this, and they all teach this. It's what you do that gets you to heaven in one fashion or another. Now, the rites are different, but it's amazing. So the question Paul comes to is this, where is the boasting then? Or I'm going to use different language. Who gets to brag? Or how about this? Who gets bragging rights? Or another question. Well, let's ask it this way before I get there. It comes to the day of your death. Can everybody look at me? You do know you're coming there. Is there anybody in this room thinks you're going to make it out of this world alive? Yes, in Christianity, we believe the Lord's going to come for his church and catch them away. Other than that, does anybody not think they're going to come to the end of their life? So here we are, the end of our life. Our families may be gathered with us. We breathe the last breath of our life. We step on the other side, we stand before God, and maybe angels, maybe Jesus, somebody comes and asks the question, why do you deserve to enter here? It comes back to the bragging rights. Who gets the credit? Will you say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I listed a bunch of these. Or I've lived a pretty good life. Or, here's my favorite, I'm a good Baptist. Or, my favorite of all, are you ready? This is what all Americans do. I don't know about other cultures. I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as... And by the way, you can always find somebody worse than you, can't you? I mean, I can just say it. I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as Dave Haas. And everybody would say, you should have said amen here. Come on, come on. Louis Haas is not here today, so I can't say anything about him. But we all know he's bad. But even if you're as bad as them, you could always say, well, there's Hitler, there's Stalin, there's Mao Zedong, there's Pol Pot, there's Idi Amin. Somebody's got to be worse than me. Friend, if you were to die right this moment, stand before God, here's the question. Paul says, who gets to boast? Who gets to brag? All right, here you are, Cliff. Why should I allow you to enter? And Cliff says, well, I know I wasn't perfect and I was mean to Judy all of her life, but I wasn't as bad as... Who said that? Nancy, my frenemy, of course. By the way, Nancy, here's the problem, Nancy, and I'm being serious. I have never claimed to be good and perfect. How do you look in the mirror and think you're perfect? Here's the question, friend. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory, is where Paul starts this. Where's the boasting? Because if you can boast, or let me use the other language, I like it. Who gets the credit? If you can come and say, hey, I was a good person, I was nice, I was kind, whatever my religion, I did all my rituals, and I get to enter in, the credit goes to you. You get to brag. You get to boast. But in Christianity, you don't get any bragging rights. None of the credit goes to me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. To God alone be the glory. It always goes to Him. Now, everything I'm going to say happened and I learned about in about 1992 or 3. It has nothing to do with America. Got it? Yes? Because some of you are going to think I'm being political. I'm not. I have a friend. I talked to him this week. Well, texted him. That's talking to him. He told me a story. He graduated with his PhD in New Testament from Aberdeen, which in the 1980s and 90s was the place on earth to get that specific degree that he got. He got his doctorate. He was a newly minted PhD, and he was a hot commodity. And a Bible college seminary gobbled him up immediately. He didn't even go back to where he was from. He went from Aberdeen going to school right to this place to teach. He was the guy. Smart. He produced a volume that most people like me can't read. A brilliant guy. He gets there, and this particular Bible college had a publication, a journal. I cannot say the journal because I don't want to make this personal, but it had a journal. And the guy that was the president of the school was also pastor of the church, and they published a journal. So my friend, this is a real person, not a make-believe. My friend was asked to write a highly difficult technical article for the journal. He said, no problem. He spent weeks writing it, researching, writing it. He only had so many words, so it was really had to be precise and concise and footnotes. I mean, it had 2 pages of all that stuff. He writes the article, and a couple months later, the journal comes out. He's published already for his PhD, but now he wants to see his first published article. He goes to the journal when it comes out. He opens to the page, and instead of saying Dr. Bob Y, it says the pastor and president of the school's name. And he was like, so he quickly read the article thinking, well, maybe he used some of it and then wrote his own. No, he says it was word for word, period, comma, quotations and footnotes, my article, and I never got, look at me, I never got any credit. What do you call that, by the way? Yeah, you know, we've learned this. By the way, that's extreme plagiarism. But my friend, Christian guy, and being in a Christian Bible college seminary, just assumed somebody messed up. He honestly said, I didn't even think anything about it. You know, I wasn't getting paid for it. It was just part of what I did. So he said, no big deal. A year later, his second year at the seminary, they said, we need you to write an article on, again, a difficult technical subject. He spent the time. He wrote the article. You know, all the stuff that technical articles have with footnotes and all of that. He submits it. He gets it back a few months later when the journal comes out, and guess whose name is on there again? So my friend said, I just calmly turned in my resignation and found another place to teach. Because, by the way, that is a fundamental no-no in academia. You don't steal people. By the way, steal the whole article. Now, same friend, are you ready? Same friend. You know who I'm talking about? Dr. Bob told me this. He said, Ralph, then he liked to serve around the world, and he helped open a Christian university in another country whose name I'll leave off because I don't make this personal. He started there because he had academia. You know, he was a professor over here. He had a doctorate. He had all this research. So they put his name as one of the main guys. He only taught there 2 weeks of the year, but he was a reference professor. So he was over there. He started working there. He taught there, look at me, friends, for 10 to 15 years. He got this place built up. He was one of the American professors that helped with the place until he went there 1 year. And he saw one of his books in translation. A book. And it didn't have his name in it. And it had somebody else's name. And it didn't even credit him. Now you say, that's horrible. Look at me, friend. Christianity says this. The way we get to heaven, so to speak, is to God alone be the glory. Look at Romans 3:27 again, please. Where is the boasting? Paul says, it is excluded. It's excluded. And my friend, I cannot say it strong enough. Paul says, it's all excluded, the boasting. He actually says it in an even stronger way. And unfortunately, my notes are a little bit different. Let me see what it looks like up here. There it is. It uses a word that you all know. It's the same word for keys, but in Greek it's kleis. Now if you ask Dada over here, he will tell you, he asked his grandson for a keys, and his grandson didn't know what he said, and he thought it meant keys, so he brought him the keys, but he wanted a kiss. Well, kleis is the Greek word for keys. Paul says, listen, who's going to boast? All right, Cliff, why can you enter in? If it's anything to do with Cliff being a better person, listen, or not as bad as other people, Cliff has something to boast about or brag about or glory about or take the credit for. But the Greek word is interesting. It's a verb. It has the word keys in it, and it has a preposition on the beginning, which is a prefix, that means, listen, friends, it's like heaven is a great, like heaven isn't, like heaven is a great box. And to get on the inside, you can't get there by yourself because anything you could ever boast about is locked out on the outside. No boasting, bragging, taking the credit in heaven. I want to say this to everybody. Everybody look at me. When people hear the truth, there's two things they do. Eventually, either they embrace the truth, look at me in the eyes, or they pull back. And you start seeing lots of pulling back. Because all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. No. Paul says any of that thinking is forbidden here. It's excluded in this sense. It's outside, locked out. No one in heaven will say, well, I know why I'm here. I'm just a better person than Cliff. I'm nicer. No. That is excluded, locked out. Well, just to show you this, in a couple of these verses we'll have to look up. For some reason they didn't come across. Romans 4:1, the Apostle Paul picks up on the theme again. Romans 4:1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. That's the same word. Brag, boast, glory. He has credit. But he says, but if he brags, he won't do it before God. Please look at me, friend. How are we saved? We are not saved by what we do. You say, why? Because that would give us something. It would give us bragging right. Could you imagine? We all go to heaven and we look over here and, well, we all know Dave Haas isn't going to be there. So we say, where'd old Dave go? Well, I guess he just wasn't good enough. Like I'm good enough. Oh no, Christianity is not about being good enough. Christianity is about being saved. Soli Deo Glory. To God alone be the glory. Boasting is excluded. So Paul then goes to Abraham and says, well, if Abraham wanted to brag and he was justified by what he did, by his works, he could boast, but he wouldn't do it before God. Because with God, God gets all the credit. And we get no credit. By the way, I do have credit. I take credit for my sins. And there's a lot of them. That's the only thing I have credit for. I'm not perfect by a million miles. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Every Bible-believing Christian, this is one of the earliest verses you memorize. For by grace are you saved. How so? It's by grace, it's through faith. And that not of yourselves, it has nothing to do with your background, your culture, how smart you are, your skin tone, none of that matters. It is the gift of God. And then he says, not of works, lest any man should boast, brag, glory, take credit for it. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Isaiah 42. Would you look there, please? Isaiah 42. There are several other passages that deal with this. I think Psalm 115 will come up. Psalm 115 says this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Why? For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You see, friends, in heaven, there will be no bragging. So, why are you here? Well, I'm special. Look at me, everybody. I'm going to do racism. I'm here because I'm white. Or I'm black. Or I'm his. No, 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 no. None of that's going to matter. It isn't about your skin tone, and I like all of them, by the way. It isn't about your language, and I like all of them. I'm happy to explore all of that. Friends, it's not about your IQ. It's not about how good you are. It's always about God. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says this, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. I don't share bragging rights. I don't share the credit. I don't share the boasting. Isaiah 48, verse 11, please. Isaiah 48, verse 11. I am the Lord. Excuse me, that's 42:8. Excuse me, 48:11. For my own sake, for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? That would be where God didn't get the glory. God didn't get the credit. He says, and I will not give my glory unto another. Who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? Who has the bragging rights? You say, who does? God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Well, we now look at the second concept. Friends, Romans 3, 21. It'll come behind you. I want to say this, friends, so everybody's really clear. If I was to speak of this in a logical fashion, I would say this. We are saved by grace alone. Through faith? Alone. Because of Christ? Alone. Based on Scripture? Alone. To God alone be the glory. I'm doing it exactly backwards so you can never deny it. It makes no difference where you start. All of these are included every place that talks about how are we justified before God? Well, it's based on Scripture alone. I won't spend much time here. I'll just read them. In Romans 3:21, Paul has begun this conversation by saying this, but now the righteousness of God without the law, meaning without doing good works, keeping law of any variety, is manifested. How so? It's what the Old Testament teaches. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets, which is a way of summarizing the entire Old Testament. He also says this, of course, in verse 3 of Romans 4. And I say this will become a major theme in Romans 4, justification. What does the Old Testament say? So when he's talking about Abraham, he begins with verse 3, what saith the Scripture? Because it's sola scriptura. He says, the Scripture says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He's simply quoting Genesis 15. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Later on, he's going to talk about David. He's going to say, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's quoting Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Friends, I'm not going to talk about this morning. This is this reference. People create their own religions. How many religions are there on earth? But there's only one faith that has something to do with God communicating in the Word of God, in the Bible, that starts with creation, fast goes to the fall of man, goes to Abraham, God choosing a people, God choosing a man, and through him the Messiah would come, through down through the ages, all the way to the Messiah. All of this is found in the Scripture. I will say this, you cannot come up with the right religion if you add, listen, Scripture and, or Scripture plus. It is solely Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory, and it's based on Scripture alone. And Paul always appeals to Scripture. Number 3, solus Christus, because of Christ alone. God sent his only begotten Son into this world. Romans 3:24 says that, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, friends, justification does not come by what I do, but what Christ did. It does not happen because I am a loving person, though that's a good thing to be. It happens because God is a loving God who sent his Son to die for our sins. It's because of Christ alone. In verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Not blood like leaking out of his hands, but that he gave his life, shed his blood for us, died and was buried and rose again. Friend, by having faith in what Christ did and Christ alone, we are saved. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Can I say this, friend? When does a person get saved? When you realize you're a sinner and you realize you can't do anything to get yourself there. But that's not a problem. That's a good thing, because at that place, then you realize I'm ungodly. I am sinful. I can't save myself. Ah, but that's the message of Christianity. Christ died for ungodly people like you and me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to call to repentance sinners like you and I, all of us. That's how we're saved. Romans 5, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he doesn't say, live a good life, do good things, do all these good works. And at the end of it, Jesus, look at me, Jesus comes along and adds some more good works to your good works. And if there's enough of your good works and enough of Jesus, you make it. No. Jesus came while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us at that point. No hope, no help, no ability. Christ died for us. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or woman cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he loved us? No, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can we show the first picture? I was in India last year, September, October. These were the professors that were at the Bible college and seminary there. The gentleman on the right is Philip Ninen. He is the guy that lives in America, he and his wife, that raises all the money and kind of supervises and runs the whole place. Philip is a good friend of mine, and he's been here several times, a good guy. Philip is from Kerala originally, but the Bible college is in Tamil Nadu down in the south. All the other guys are professors. Some of them are from, one's from Nagaland, one is from Andhra Pradesh. Well, actually, it would be, Telangana now. Other guys from different locations. You say, why do I show you that? The guy on the right is Pastor Ninen. The guy behind him is Pastor Matthew. Have you ever done something stupid? Philip Ninen says, we want you to come. We arrange it all. Satish helped me arrange it. I got the tickets, flew to New Delhi, from New Delhi down to Kerala in the south to Kochi, because I have to do a little bit of tourism, and I wanted to, so I went to a place that he recommended, Munnar, fabulous. Got back to Kochi, got in the airplane, flew from there to Bangalore, and from Bangalore to Trichy. You say, what's the big deal? I don't know a single person in the entire state. I don't speak their language. I don't have their address. Other than that, things are good. And you get there, and honestly, I'm pretty confident. I'm probably overconfident sometimes. I thought, hey, no big deal. Philip said somebody was going to pick me up. But what if they didn't? I couldn't even tell them where the place was, and I wouldn't have been. I still remember, I got off the airplane, went through, got my luggage, pulled it out, and I'm thinking, what if they don't show up? What if they don't show up? Maybe you've never been. By the way, I'm on the other side of the world. Who am I going to call? Satish, come and get me. And he says, I'll be there in 3 days. Good luck. It's like, what do you do? And when I walked out, I started thinking, I should have at least, by the way, I should have at least done what? Found out the guy's name that was picking me up. I didn't know who was picking me up. I didn't have his phone number. I just was thinking, and by the way, before all of you get nervous, it happened worse in a worse place. It happened to me in about 2002 in Venezuela. And I went into Caracas, and this was after the communist dictator took over, Chavez. Things were a mess, and they had two airports, national and local, international and local, and you're in the international, and you have to walk about a mile. So I'm dragging my suitcase down to the national. I get in there, and by the way, somebody was supposed to pick me up, and they weren't there. Hold it. How's your dating? 2002. You say, I'll just pull out my smartphone. I'll use the internet. Oh, that's right. I didn't have a phone number. I didn't even have a phone because phones didn't work anyplace. I'm in the middle of Venezuela, and I'm thinking. And finally, I wait about an hour. Did I ever tell you this? Maybe I didn't tell you this. I waited about an hour, and I think, the guy that's supposed to come to get me is not coming. So I thought, well, I got some money and I got a credit card, so I hope it works. And I hope I don't get ripped off too badly. So I found a guy, a taxi driver, and I was going to have him take me. And I'm sure that $2 ride was going to cost me $2 too, right? And he was going to take me to a hotel. But even in the hotel, I still didn't know where to go. By the way, I get all the way to Trichy, India. I'm going someplace with this. Do you realize, friend, you're going to die? And you're dependent on one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in Trichy, I was dependent on one person. The next photo. We're way up on top of a huge fortress, huge stone in a flat ground, and there's Philip Ninen. And can I tell you this? Philip Ninen was the only reason I was there, and Philip Ninen made the arrangements. And when I walked outside, I look a lot like Indians. Believe it or not, they could tell I wasn't from there, which, by the way, is good and can be bad. I walked out, and it was the sweetest thing on earth. Can you go back to the previous picture? Is that possible? The gentleman on the right, the second guy, is Pastor Matthew. I think it's Saju, I think. I call him Pastor Matthew. His son was there to pick me up. And all I remember was this. Pastor Warren? Yes. 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 Oh, I'm feeling good now. And you say, shouldn't you have had a number? I had numbers for people, but not for them. I could have called Satish here, and he would have been there in 3 days. Or I could have called Philip. By the way, Philip was in America. He came the next week, about 8 days later. But other than that, he was good. Friend, I want to say this. Why do you go to heaven? I'm not trying to be silly. Go to the next photo, please. Philip Ninen was the reason I was in Trichy, Tamil Nadu. He opened the door. He gave me the opportunity. He wanted me to teach. Let me say this. When you go to heaven, there's only one reason you do. It's either Jesus or you don't go. And it's not Jesus plus, 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 plus. It's Jesus alone. And friends, the gospel is only God gets the credit. To God alone gets all of the credit. It's based on the scripture alone. And it's because of Christ alone we have a door, we have a way, we have the road, we have the path, we have the truth. Not we, he's the truth. And through him, just like old Philip, gave me the door. He opened the door. He made the arrangements. It was all finished. Can I say this? Oh, I hadn't tell the rest of the story in Venezuela. I see a guy. This is not true, and I'm just making fun of him because I like him. The guy reminded me of Rolando, and I'm getting nervous now. The taxi driver, I'm thinking, oh boy, can you see this guy picking you up? Come on, folks. And I'm thinking, but I had to do something. I tell the guy what it is. He understands about 3 words of English. We start walking out to the car place where the car was, and Tom Parrott walks in. You say, how much was the flight? I mean, how much was the car going to cost you? I think it was $3 to $5. I gave the guy a $20 bill and said, God bless you. I am happy that I don't have to ride with you. It could have been this guy right here. You know the danger. Now, friends, I'm being goofy. You know that. Look at me. Christianity, look at me, please. It's only or not at all. It isn't. You get some of the credit, God gets some of the credit. It isn't scripture and whatever you believe. It's scripture alone, and it's either Christ, listen, or it's nothing. It's not a part of Christ. It's just Christ, what Christ did on the cross. Well, we come to the next concept. Romans 3:27 again, please. Sola fide. By the way, all of these connect. You cannot separate them. And if you do separate them, you get something other than biblical Christianity or the gospel. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? Well, it is locked out, bolted down. You don't bring any of your bragging with you. By what law? Of works? No, nay, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man or a woman is justified, declared righteous. How so? By faith alone. You said the word alone's not here. Well, look at the next word. Without the deeds of the law. That's the alone. It's not, I do some good works. You know, it isn't this. I believe and then throw some works in here and I get baptized and I put all this together, mix it up. No. These don't go together. They're like oil and vinegar. Faith alone. Paul says it, can I say this to you? He says it so many times in this passage, you're going to be bored when we look at them. Because if you think you're going to go to heaven by something you do, my friends, it's not faith plus works. It's faith alone. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Well, the answer is obviously not. Paul says, rhetorically, is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God. To say there's only one God and the same God, which shall justify the circumcision, which is another way of saying Jewish people, by faith. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone. To God alone be the glory. Yes, he says the Jewish people are saved this way. And guess what? And the uncircumcision, another way of describing those who are not Jewish, through faith. We go back to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Again, it's not faith plus. It's faith alone. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, it reaches unto the farthest outreach on earth. And upon all, it comes to rest upon all that believe. Everyone look at me. I got to say this quickly. There's a problem in English that's not obvious. The Greek word for faith is pistis. You don't need to know the word. The Greek word for believe is just the verb of that, pistuo. But in English, we don't have a word for faithing. So faith and belief are the same ideas. One's the verb, one's the noun. They're connected. So he says, upon all them that have faith, all them that believe. Romans 3, verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Verse 26, the latter part. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth. Remember, pistuo, same as pistis. It's faithing, but that's not a word in English. Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You see, if you were to work your way to heaven, look at me, friend. If you were to work your way to heaven, we'll probably talk about this next week. And you got there and you say, why, Cliff, should you come in? And Cliff says, hey, I've been a good person. I've done all these good deeds. I've done all of this. And by the way, the language is all around the world of good deeds. I've done all this stuff. That would make God owe you something. No, no, no. God is not in your debt. You're in his debt. That's the reason it's to God alone be the glory, based on Scripture alone. It's because of Christ alone. It's by through faith alone, of course. God doesn't owe us. Verse 5, same passage. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, believing, faith, one's a verb, one's a noun, is counted for righteousness. Now, I freely admit this. Faith alone has several issues. I remember a friend of mine years ago. Please, everyone, I'm not trying to be negative. I do not want you to become offended. I just want you to hear kindly. A lady became a believer. She got saved. How so? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Her family were very, very traditional Catholics. Which, by the way, this is not a secret. I can show you this in hundreds of Catholic documents from the Council of Trent and forward, 1540s. She believed you get saved by faith. No, the Catholic. Faith plus any number of things. The mother, the lady's mother. By the way, not mad at anybody. So look at me, everybody. Hey, I'm going to wait till everybody looks up here. Do you know what she immediately did? When the mother heard that her daughter became a Christian and got the gospel, the mother immediately became a super Catholic. She started going to Mass every single day. Because when she heard about, you don't save yourself, only Christ can save you. And he does so with simple, just trusting him. She said, that can't be true. I think I say this in the notes. I say that it has several issues. It can't be that easy. Don't I have to do something? So this lady's response was to not only be a Catholic, and by the way, nothing about people, please hear me, nothing about any individuals. This is not go out and persecute people. I'm not talking that. But the lady's response was, instead of getting saved, it's like a lot of people when they hear something new. They run. She ran to going to Mass every day. Wait a minute. After a while, that wasn't enough. She started going to Mass more than once a day. But here's the problem, friend. There's nothing we contribute to this. Every text we read, and by the way, I could show you 50 of these in the New Testament or more. We simply trust Christ. Now, there's a third problem. There are many words for this. Don't get confused by the words. As I say here, sometimes the Bible will talk about calling, just simply asking Christ to save you. Sometimes it talks about trusting. Sometimes it'll talk about believing. Again, believing and faith are pistuo, the verb, pistis, the noun, they're the same. There is no word faithing. Sometimes it'll say something as simply drink or eat. Sometimes it says repent. Sometimes it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Just come to me. But it's saying the same things using different images. It's trying to help you understand. It's simply Christ alone. How do you receive Christ alone? By simply coming to him, calling upon him, believing in him, trusting him, turning from your sins to him. Sometimes one of my favorites, I like it. Look at me. I like this one. You ever go out to eat with somebody and they won't eat food? I have a sister. I love my sister to death. I have two sisters. I love both of my sisters. They're both wonderful, but do not tell them I said so. I'd ruin my whole reputation. My older sister, I love her. She is exceptionally gifted in many ways, except food. If we go to a Mexican restaurant, my sister would eat baked potato and grilled chicken. If we went to a Chinese restaurant, she would eat baked potato and grilled chicken. You say they don't serve baked potato and grilled chicken. She doesn't go there. By the way, I love this because I would just say to my sister, Rita, taste. Why don't you try it? Oh, no. Can I say this? I love that invitation. Several places in the Bible, the Lord says, look at me. Just taste and see. I sent a picture, by the way, picking on my buddy over here, Rolando. I mean, my wife and I went Friday to a restaurant, to Luca's in Waukegan. It's a terrible place. Do not go there. And we had, I don't know what she had. It was good, but I had some wonderful tacos de carnitas. You say, I don't even know what that is. Here's my comment. Look at me, friend. Taste and see. I don't know what else to say except in heaven you'll be eating tacos de carnitas. Except it won't cause any bad health problems. It'll all be good. Taste and see. By the way, look at me, friend. The New Testament and the Old Testament sometimes says this. Just follow. Follow me. In the Old Testament, the number one reference, we'll look at this tonight, fear. But it's all the same. All of those are just different words of saying, listen, how are we saved? God gets all the credit. Scripture teaches this. It's all about Christ. And you simply receive Christ, trust Christ, believe in Christ. All of those are words. Friends, you come to recognize you're a sinner before God and you just come and trust, receive. That's it. That's it. Simple invitations. We come to the last concept. Romans 3, verse 24. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Logically, we would start here. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, to God alone be the glory. But friend, we can start any place because Paul says, where's the boasting? It's locked out. Only God gets bragging rights. Only God, look at me, only God gets credit for anybody's salvation. And the only way God can get all the credit, it has to be what the Scripture teaches. It has to be only Christ. It has to be only through faith. And it has to be by grace, which is simply God's unmerited favor and actions toward us. He does it freely, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely. No, He doesn't owe you anything. You don't pay for anything. It's all in the Son of God. We're justified freely by His grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved. Again, grace is not a buzzword. It is simply God showing favor that you don't deserve. He looks at us in a way that is favorable. Therefore, He sends His Son. Therefore, people talk to you about the gospel. Therefore, Christ invites you to come, trust, call, believe. All of that language, friend, it's that simple. It's all the alone words. It's only grace. It's not grace plus. It's through faith only or alone, not through faith plus, plus, plus. It's all Christ. It's only the scripture. And by the way, because any other kind of religion, we get the credit. We can brag. We have bragging rights. And in the Bible, God doesn't share His glory with anybody. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And then he makes this exceptionally profound statement. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Why? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. By the way, friends, grace and works is like oil and vinegar. They just don't mix. And, you know, you say, I'll put more oil in. Well, then you're going to have oil and the vinegar will be excluded. You're either one or the other. Paul says, listen, if it's by grace, then it's no more works. Why? Grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Friends, please look at me. And I'm finished this morning. I started out with a simple premise. I could preach all of this from memory. That's the reason I was too focused. I'm going to say this to you, friend. I don't care where you start. If you start in the logic, you are saved by grace alone, unmerited, freely. You can do nothing to earn it. Through faith alone, you simply receive Christ, trust Him, believe, come, drink, taste and see. Taste and see. You say, it's all in the scripture. It's scriptural. Now, if you have the scripture plus, 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 then you can change things. But in the Word of God, Paul says, nah, what's the scripture say? We're justified by faith alone. It's accounted to us or credited to us for righteousness. And friend, it's to God alone be the glory. So I'm going to say this and be done. Here's my plea with you. Come to Christ. Come to Him alone. You can do nothing. Hey, He's already done everything. When He died on the cross, He already paid for the sins, the penalty for sins of 10 million worlds. It isn't like He's going to say, oop, I don't think I have enough to help you. You're a really bad sinner. Nobody's excluded for that reason, friend. Come to Jesus. Taste and see. Take of the water of life freely. Drink. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Makes no difference the word. It's simply faith alone. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on scripture alone, so that God gets all the credit, all of the glory. That's the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I know how people respond to the gospel. Some are confused. Some are offended that anyone would even think that they're not good enough to go to heaven. Well, the scripture from beginning to end, and forget the scripture in this sense, just life itself pretty much demonstrates that we all have sin wrapped throughout our entire existence. Yes, some get confused, some run away, some get angry, and some become a hyper do-gooder. They're going to do their religion 10 times more than they ever did, but we can never do enough to change anything. And at the end of the day, we will be locked out with our boasting, because if we're going to boast in ourselves, we're going to be locked out with it, because in heaven, there no one gets to boast except one. That's God himself. To God alone be the glory. Bless, we ask, in Jesus' name.